Morning, friends. It's great to see everybody today. Praise the Lord for your presence with us this morning. So, I got to start out with two additional announcements. So, sorry about that. Number one is really cool. So, I guess 2 months ago or so, we voted in order to go forward with the roofing project that is going to come. So we're going to have this bit of our roof repaired, and then also in the fellowship hall as well. Well, thank God, due to the work of the building committee, like George Rhodes and Mark Scott and Butch Malmstrom and Andrew Amrine as well, we've been able to get going with that. And so we got a start date. We start on August the 30th, which is it's a Monday, right? Okay, Monday, August the 30th, we start, the building project starts, and that's really cool. It's going to bring about one change as a result of that. We're going to have like a bunch of plastic laying around here and everything to protect the floors, to protect some of the things that we have in the sanctuary and the fellowship hall. And so we are not going to be able to be in here for worship on September the 5th. That is Sunday of Labor Day weekend, okay? So what we're going to do, if you've ever been involved in roofing projects, some of you have had this stuff done in your house, you know, at the outside, there's nails, tiles, all kinds of things, big old dumpster waiting out there. So we thought, hey, we could just worship outside. Journey's done that before. We're cool. We know how to do it. Well, nails and tiles and dumpster, not so good for, creating an environment conducive to worshiping the Lord, and also we're worried about our kids. So we're going to go all online on September the 5th. So for some of us, that's retro, right? Because we did some of that for COVID. So, you know how to do that, how we can connect with each other online for worship and then also for the Word. So that's September the 5th, so a few weeks from now on the Sunday, we are going to be going all online for worship. We'll continue to get the word out about that. Some of you have seen it already on Journey Weekly. If you don't receive Journey Weekly and you want it, it's just our weekly newsletter. It's always pretty much what we send to you on a weekly basis. We don't send you anything else, anything weird, no spam or anything like that, no strange political things. Just Journey gets you Journey Weekly once a week. And so that's the kind of thing that you'd get, letting you know what's happening. So Sunday, September the 5th, you'd be able to join us online at our YouTube channel. So, but it's a cool thing because we're getting going on this, right? And we're getting on it before the rainy season hits. So that's good news. And so rock and roll. Another bit of news coming down the pike is a lot of you probably know this already. Some of you may not. Is that so far with masking stuff, the way Journey rolls is we don't enforce recommendations. So right now, the state is in a recommendation mode. They highly recommend that that folks be masked, and so we don't enforce recommendations because that's left up to individuals. So we have a diversity of people doing a diversity of things with respect to Sunday worship. But as of tomorrow, there is a mandate that's coming down from state that goes into effect tomorrow, and it is that no matter what your vaccination status, when you are inside, it's not about outside, it's about inside. When you are inside, you are to be fully masked. That means me, I'm fully vaccinated, I got to wear a mask. That means I come in here tomorrow, some staff are here on Monday, and that means that all the staff here are wearing a mask as of tomorrow. And so that's for us too. So if you could, you're not going to come in and see, ooh, Pastor Myron's not wearing a mask because he thinks it's not about him, it's for everybody else. We don't roll like that. Everybody means everybody. So that means starting next Sunday, on the 29th, we are going to be masking up again. There's a diversity of opinion on this thing. I get it. Remember the sermon series we just finished? Better Together? Well, we fit in the sea. We're about to see if we can do it. Sometimes the Lord gives you a word, or sometimes you pray, and like 5 minutes after you pray, or 5 minutes after Bible study, the exact thing you studied or the exact thing you prayed about, God's like, in the South, the way we say it is, we fit in the sea. Or we fix into sea, right? If you're not from the South, that means we're about to see. We're about to find out what we're made of. So now we got a chance to put it into action. We enforce mandates. We do mandates here. And this is about keeping people safe. This is not about political stuff. Keep your political convictions. It's not about ideological stuff. Keep your ideological convictions. I don't try to persuade you one way or the other on those kinds of things. It's not about your vaccine opinion, right? This is about loving our neighbor the best way we know how. And you don't want me, a pastor who got a seminary degree and an undergraduate degree in literature, trying to play amateur epidemiologist When you were hiring me a few years ago, I did not tell you, oh, by the way, I tinker in epidemiology. I don't. I really don't. So I have to listen to people who are smarter than me, all right? And it's very smart for us to do that because we've gotten a long way in our society by doing that. So that's what we're doing here. Let's see if we can live this out. Let's see if we really think we're better together. You have an opportunity to put a sermon series right into practice just a few weeks out, all right? Let's see. Or as we say where I'm from, we fit in the sea. Okay? In any event, let's turn to the Lord. Let's stay in the flow of worship. And we got something really cool happening, and most of you know what that is. But let's go ahead and stick to the Lord and be in the flow of worship. Sorry about the long announcements, but had to do it. Let's pray. Lord God, who is good, we honor you. We praise your name. We praise your name, Lord, because you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. We pray that through the power of your word, and through the power of the sacrament we're going to engage in here today, that you would be glorified, lifted up, exalted in our very hearts, that you would have the holiest of holies in our hearts, Lord God, and that you would be glorified right in the center of who we are, and that we would be satisfied in you, that we would delight in you, and that we'd be transformed into the likeness of Christ as a result of the word and the sacrament here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's your time. Be glorified in it. Amen. Right, well, we now interrupt Journey's regularly scheduled programming, right? Usually when you hear this, when you were a kid or, you know, as an adult, you hear this, you're like watching TV, you know, it's like your favorite show, you know, or you listen to the radio and your jam is on. Like you're in the car and you're bopping, you know, and your jam is on and you know, listen to the radio and you hear that. You hear like a little noise and usually it's really annoying to get your attention. It's like, you know, it's that noise, right? And some kids are really acquainted with that noise because they know how to make that noise on their own. And they make it at the dinner table if you're a Crockett. In any event, so, all right, so, you know, that noise comes on, and then there's this pre-recorded voice that comes on, and it says, we now interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, right? And usually, if that's coming on, it's telling you, hey, there's something momentous that has happened, and usually it's bad, right? It's every now and then it's good, right? Every now and then it's good, but usually it's bad. In the old days, it may have been an all-points bulletin or an APB for a criminal who was on the loose, right? Or it may have been a report on some kind of national disaster or a national tragedy, or it may have been an urgent weather report. Right, where I'm from in Louisiana, we get urgent weather reports about half the year. You know, you just kind of gear up. You know, okay, it's hurricane season. Get ready. Right, so you're kind of used to this kind of thing. It's just how we roll, right? But today we got an interruption to our regularly scheduled programming, and it's awesome. Right, it's an awesome interruption. It's the baptism of Adeline Ortega. Right, so yeah. All right, so. Welcome family, friends of Adeline and family and friends of Michael and Amy, her parents. Thanks for joining the Journey family as we celebrate Adeline's baptism. And so it's a wonderful interruption, right? It's a wonderful interruption to our regularly scheduled programming. And so it may take a little bit of time, just a little bit, in terms of figuring out how we get here. Like, how did we get here with this lovely interruption? You know, baptisms don't just like, well, every now and then, they just like one day pop up. Like, somebody comes in, it's like, I need Jesus, right? And you're like, all right, got to dunk them, right? You get going. Usually, you get a little bit more lead time, right? A little bit more. So we had a little bit more lead time than that. So how did we get here? Well, we got here because Michael and Amy love the Lord, and they've been following Jesus for a number of years, and they wanted to pass on the faith to Adeline. They've lived out Christ's likeness before her. Right, and they've passed the gospel on to her. So that's part of how we got here, Michael and Amy being Christ-centered parents and loving the Lord and passing on the faith. The Journey family, walking alongside the Ortegas, walking alongside Adeline, and in faith and in integrity of heart, and with a special nod to Journey Kids Ministry and all the volunteers involved in Journey Kids Ministry who have walked along the Ortega family in terms of their own faith journey. But then also we got here because Adeline, even as a kid, she's responded to the good news of Jesus Christ. And she has responded to it. She understands what's happening. We did a little interview where I talked with her and Michael and Amy and to figure out, okay, kid, you know what you're getting into, right? Do you get it? It's a lifelong journey. You're making it as a kid, and that's fine. Kids come to faith, and kid faith is authentic, right? Kid faith is authentic, excuse me. And so we interviewed her, and one thing I was impressed with Adeline when we did our interview, so I wanted to know as a pastor, okay, you know, like, what do you think it means to follow Jesus, right? What do you think it means to follow him? And she said something that I don't hear a lot of adults say. She said it means basically that you have to be done with sin. I was like, holy cow, look at you. Way to go. Rock and roll. Right? There's other answers too that are adequate. You don't have to like write a systematic theology to be a baptismal candidate. Okay? You don't have to write the equivalent of a 500-page book. There are other adequate answers. But I was impressed that a child would go straight to the fact that you have to renounce sin. I was like, whoa, okay. Look at you. Rock and roll. A lot of adults don't get that right. That's how we got here. Right? Parents who love Jesus, you know, with a church that loves Jesus, walking alongside a family, and then also a young lady who has responded to the gospel, you know, in truth, in an age-appropriate way, and actually, I think, a little bit beyond her years, so she's kind of got extra credit here, and it's really cool to see that. But there's another part of how we got to this moment. There's a cosmic drama in terms of how we got here, and it's true for every baptism, right? For every baptism, of course, there's a cosmic component in terms of how we got here. There's, you know, kind of some things that we see sometimes in the invisible, in the spiritual realm, and sometimes they're made visible here to some degree, but a lot of it happens behind the scenes. And to flesh that out just a little bit, for the little bit of time that we have, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Romans 5, 6 through 11, and then we'll skip on down to Romans 6, 1 through 4. It should be up on your screen, but if you got it, you want to pull it up, digital or analog, however you do that, that would be cool too. So Romans 5, 6 through 11, and then we'll dip down a little bit to Romans 6, and we'll catch verses 1 through 4. All right, and this is Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to an ethnically mixed church. Who had gobs of diversity, and some of that diversity they were rolling with, and some of that diversity was very difficult to roll with, like any church. And he was trying to get them all on the same page, spiritually, theologically, and to get, help them get their minds right. And so this is the letter to the Romans, 5 through 6, 5, 6 through 11, and 6, 1 through 4. And the way we're going to organize this is to say this, that the way we got here, and this happens with every baptism, everybody who's baptized in the name of Jesus, right, as a response to authentic faith in Christ. There's a mission that got us here. There's a God who got us here. And there's a reunion that got us here. A mission that got us here, a God who got us here, and a mission that got us here, right? So first we'll look at the mission that got us here. So pick it up. We're going to read Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, right? The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The mission that gets us here is it's a rescue mission, right? You see this phrase here that Christ died for us. You could think of maybe a burning building and a firefighter goes into a burning building in the process of trying to rescue someone or maybe a group of people, a family, from the burning building. The firefighter loses his life, right? Dies for the sake of someone else. This is a rescue mission in the same way that a firefighter running into a burning building is a rescue mission. It's the mission that gets us here. Every baptism is kind of the exclamation point on a mission, a rescue mission from the Lord that gets us here. And you might say, well, why do people have to be rescued? What's the burning building? Right? What's the burning building? And you see it in a few words that Paul uses. Humanity has a problem, and the problem is that without exception, all of us, maybe not to the same degree, but all of us, we're not what God has intended us to be. And people know this, right? I mean, even if you're not a Christian or anything like that, or if you're just flat out don't believe in anything metaphysical at all, right? If you have no metaphysical beliefs or any spiritual beliefs, human beings have come to one conclusion that we could all kind of wrap our minds around. We are not what we're supposed to be, Like, basically, we have this weird sense that, like, there's things we get right, there's things we get awesome, there's things we've done very well together as societies, but there's ways that we've drastically screwed up. And they're catastrophic. Some of us know this within ourselves because of disappointment with choices and decisions we've made. We know that there's some kind of ideal and we've fallen short of it. Even if we can't name it and we can't put our finger on it, we say, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And some of us might say, I'm not the way I'm supposed to be. Something wrong with us, right? Something's wrong with us. Paul describes it a few ways in the passage. He describes people as powerless. While we were still powerless, God died for the ungodly. What does that mean? It means to spiritually be unable to be what God intends for us to be. He uses the word ungodly. Christ died for who? The ungodly. What does ungodly mean? It just means to fail to honor God. That's it. It just means a failure or an unwillingness to honor God. Right? He uses this last word here in verse 8. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sinner, or one who commits sin. Sinners are increasingly good at being bad and increasingly bad at being good. That's it. That's what it is to be a sinner. It is to be increasingly good at being bad. Right? And it's not static, like you get better at it. Right? Increasingly good at being bad and increasingly bad at being good, right? And it's not a static thing. It just kind of progresses as time goes on if something is not done, right? And God's solution to all this, to our powerlessness, to our ungodliness, to our sinfulness, is to engage in a rescue mission. And his rescue mission, God has to do two things. He has to show us who he is, because our powerlessness and our ungodliness and our sinfulness blind us to who God really is and separates us from God, creates distance between us, right? He has to show us who he is in his rescue mission. And he has to show us who we are supposed to be. There's two things at the same time. Who he is and who we're supposed to be, because we've lost sight of both. Our powerlessness and our ungodliness and our sinfulness, right, has caused us to lose sight of both those things, who God is and who we're supposed to be. And the way he resolves that in Jesus Christ, sending Jesus into the world, he sends to the world a God-man, one who could show us who God is. He's authentically divine and he's authentically human, and God smashes those two things together in one person to say, here's who I am. Here's who I am. This is the real me, my fullest manifestation of who I am. And then also, here's who you're supposed to be. We get both of them at the exact same time. And what Jesus does is he endures the rightful judgment due to us for sin. That's the part where he dies for us. In his death, he died for us. He died the death we were supposed to die before God, because God's a God of justice. And justice, which is really fashionable right now, everybody wants justice, but nobody wants to be judged. Everybody wants justice right now. We want justice, yeah, oh, right? But as long as someone else is being judged, and as long as I can judge, everybody wants justice, but no one wants to be judged. And God's like, well, I'm qualified to judge everybody. And if God wants to do justice, God says everyone deserves to die. But the way God resolves the tension, because God loves us, is he sends his son, authentically divine and authentically human, to die in our place. But then again, who is this God, right? I mean, God in Western culture is not the most fashionable being right now. Who is this God who leaps off the pages of the Bible? There's much that you could say about that. There's whole volumes written on who God is. But here in our passage, Paul says this in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's the God who got us here. We've seen the mission that got us here, rescue mission. Here's the God who got us here. God's motivated by love to rescue us. He's a God of love and mercy and compassion and great grace, grace being unmerited favor, unearned favor. He's motivated to rescue us by his own love. Who does God love? Well, go back to those words, those very offensive words describing human beings. God loves powerless, ungodly sinners. God loves powerless, ungodly sinners. He loves us. And he doesn't condemn us, but he sends Jesus into the world to endure the judgment due to us, to do justice, to be a God of justice, but to be a God of love. And the way that he resolves that tension is he sends Jesus in the world, the God-man, to represent us before God and God before us. That's the God who got us here. Lastly, there's a reunion that got us here. A reunion. We see this in verses, in Romans 5, verses 9 through 11. There's a reunion that got us here. We see, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, should we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. It's a whole sermon's worth of stuff packed in there. We don't have time for all that, okay? So, so fear not, right? The baptismal waters await for this child, right? The pastor's not about to do that to you, all right? Focus on two words, the reunion that got us here, right? Seeing the mission that got us here, the God that got us here. Here's the reunion that got us here. You could capture the reunion in two words, justification and reconciliation, right? Now, reconciliation is a little bit easier. Justification's weird. It's a weird word. It's one of those words that does not translate very well, at least it succinctly, into English. And what justification means to be found not guilty. It's a not guilty verdict, right? Which, if you are a powerless, ungodly sinner, is great news. Wait, God's finding people not guilty? Oh, I want some of that, right? It's like being on death row, right? And having the judge say, hey, you're guilty. You deserve to be on death row, right? And yet we're going to find you not guilty. Right? Why? Because of the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus has satisfied justice. He has satisfied justice. And so when we place faith in what God has done in this world through Jesus Christ, we are found not guilty. We're forgiven and found not guilty. It's not a fiction. It's not like God pretends, you never did anything to begin with. No big deal. No big deal. You were on death row. We're going to forget about that. No. It's not a fiction. Instead, it's the outworking of forgiveness. God treats us as if we were people who were not guilty, because that's how forgiveness works. But in addition to being found not guilty, we're reconciled. Reconciliation. What's reconciliation? A nice way to capture it? It's a healing of a hostile relationship. It's a mending of a relationship that was characterized by hostility, right? And placing peace between the two parties who were hostile, right? Those who were powerless against sin, ungodly, and sinners were hostile to God, enemies of God. Paul even says that, actually. He says in verse 10, for while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, right? And so suddenly what happens is not guilty and reconciled people, this cool thing happens, there's a reunion. We're not guilty, the judge finds us not guilty, and in addition to that, we're brought back together with him. Our relationship is mended, and the cool thing there is that suddenly we go from being powerless against sin to having power to say no to sin and power to say yes to God. Those of us who were ungodly and therefore dishonored God, we now have the capacity to honor God in the way we live. Sinners who were good at being bad and bad at being good, it all gets reversed. Now we're righteous. And we are now good at being good and bad at being bad, and increasingly so as time goes on, right? If we're doing the Jesus thing right, we should be better at doing good and worse at doing bad, and that's good news. Instead of being enemies, we are now God's friends. See that? It's the rescue mission that got us here. That is the God who got us here. It's the reunion that got us here, and this is true for every baptism. Every baptism that's authentic, where people are placing authentic faith in Christ, is characterized by a rescue mission that got us here, a God who got us here, a God of love and mercy who got us here, and a reunion that got us here. And baptism is a lovely picture of being able to participate in that, right? It's this powerful symbol right? It's a necessary symbol. It's not just a symbol like, oh, you can do with or without it. It's like this. I don't do with or without my wedding ring. If I told Alyssa, yeah, whatever. We're married, right? You don't need a ring. The ring tells everybody who I belong to, right? It is necessary. It's necessary. It's a necessary symbol, right? It tells everybody who I belong to. It's a public affirmation. I belong to Alyssa. Her ring tells everybody she belongs to me, right? Baptism tells the world I belong to Jesus. I pledge allegiance to Jesus. Verse 4 of our second passage, and this is, I'm going to end on this. Verse 3 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new life. It's a symbol that says we die with Christ. He dies for us. He's resurrected for us. And then we die and rise with him. And baptism is a powerful public affirmation of that union. What Adeline will do today will be telling everybody she belongs to Jesus, that she pledges allegiance to Jesus, and that he is supreme in her life. And every other relationship, every other desire is subordinated to pledging allegiance to King Jesus. And he's a necessary symbol. And it's a privilege to be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. So let's get to it. Rock and roll. All right, they're prepping the candidate right now. The candidate. That sounds so weird. And everybody, as you will, silently pray for her. Right, this is a momentous occasion. Baptism is a start. It's not the end. Baptism as a ceremony is a symbol of something real. Right, it is not something that by itself confers a special status onto somebody. The way we used to say it back in the South, they say you could go in a dry devil and come up a wet one. Right, the water is not magic. Right, the water is not magic. Without faith, the water doesn't mean anything. Without authentic faith, and Adeline has been deemed to have authentic faith. And we are inviting our kiddos to see because it is good to know that at a young age, you can place authentic faith in Christ Jesus. All right, could I get Adeline and Amy and Michael up here, please? Yes. Oh, it's cool. We're ready. All right. So here we go, rock and roll. All right, kiddo. All right, so I'm going to ask Adeline some questions. Right, which she's already been prepped for, and she's going to give us a little bit of her testimony. And then also I'm going to ask you some questions. Ha, you didn't know, pop quiz. Ha. All right, so that's going to be really cool. All right, and then we're going to pray for her. We're going to baptize her, and we're going to seal the deal. Or we'll baptize her after her questions. You'll see, sorry, in the event. So, first of all, Adeline, can you give us a little bit of, tell us why you want to be baptized? Amen. Praise him. All right. I'm down with all that. By the way, those of you who wonder what you say before you get dunked, not bad. Pretty good script. All right. All right. Adeline, I got a few questions for you. And if you do agree to the things that I say, all you have to say is, I do. That's it. Cool? All right. Adeline Ortega, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist sin and evil, injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Well, in response to that, we are going to baptize the candidate. Adeline, come join me in the baptism. You can take your shoes off. I'm going to take my shoes off, too. Let's do that. Okay? Like Mr. Rogers here.
What? What are you talking about?
We have a generational gap. Okay. All right. Please, do join us. All right. Now, you're going to have to hit the stairs and then turn around and face me. There you go. Just like that. Go away. It's warm. Yeah, see, isn't that cool? All right, step one more down if you would. Just one more. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hold my hand like this.
Like this?
Yep. Yeah. There you go. And then you could hold your nose with your other hand. Okay. Adeline Ortega, in accordance with the saving faith that you have professed before me, before your parents, before our church, in accordance with your authentic faith in Jesus Christ and His gospel, I hereby baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm wet.
Yes, you are. All right. Whoa. Thank you, Mrs. Crockett, to the rescue. All right. Now, a few questions for you all. Pop quiz. All right. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. Thank you. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care? Amen. With God's help, will you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and live according to the example of Christ? Okay. Will you surround Adeline with a community of love and forgiveness that she may continue to grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others? Will you pray for Adeline that she may continue in true discipleship and continue to walk in the way that leads to everlasting life? Amen. Let's pray. Congregation, remember your baptism and be thankful. Adeline Ortega, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and spirit, you may continue to live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ the Lord. The Holy Spirit for you, Adeline. Amen. Praise the Lord. I present to you Adeline Ortega, baptized candidate. All right, now listen. Now, we had time, you know. I talked with Michael and Amy and Adeline, and we scheduled all kinds of things and had meetings and conversations and stuff like that. And so remember I said earlier that, yeah, that's sometimes how this goes. However, there are spontaneous baptisms where somebody's just like, look, I want some of that, right? This gospel of forgiveness and being able to have a mended relationship with the living God, accepting the fact that, yes, we are ungodly. We are sinners, right? We are people who are apart from God, right? Accepting that reality, which is a convicting reality, a convicting thing to be told, but also accepting the remedy, which is the good news of Jesus, the God-man sent into this world to represent God to us and to represent us to us and then to die for our sins and be raised again for our living hope. Adeline Ortega need not be the only one baptized today. If you are here today and you do not know the Lord, if you have not been reconciled to the living God, if you have not felt his not guilty verdict on your life, and you're hearing this and you're saying, I need some of that. Even if you're saying, I don't have all the kinks worked out and everything, and I don't know all of what this means, but I need to get up in that right now. We got you. She need not be the only one, right? The waters of baptism are available to you, right? The waters, is there anyone else who hears this and who has concluded that the Lord is who he says he is and that he has engaged in a rescue mission for you, for all of us? You need not be ashamed or embarrassed. We won't shame you. We won't shame you. I was that kid myself in 1993 coming out of practicing witchcraft and all kinds of stuff, sitting in a church, and I came to realize, oh my gosh, I am a sinner. And I was embarrassed to ask for baptism. I was embarrassed to respond to calls like this because I thought, they're all going to know that I'm not one of them, and I'm going to be so embarrassed. And eventually, I gave my life to the Lord, and there was no shame because that's not what the kingdom is about. Is there one? If not right now, I know the worship team's going to come up and they're going to close us out. If you later on, you want to have a talk after church and you know everything, it's warm. It's not going to get cold real quick. Okay, we're not going to freeze you. This isn't like going into Pacific. Okay, we got you. But, you know, if you want to talk and work some things out and start a journey, talk to us. Talk to Todd. Talk to me. You know, we are here available for you. But in any event, we praise the Lord for Adeline's baptism. Church, remember your baptism and live into it because it's still effective. Worship team, can you come up, please?